Blog Talk Radio.
How did the Revolution do against the Force? Find out now on Revolution Zone, presented by Impact Media. And that's right, we're here live on Blog Talk Radio for the Revolution Zone. I am your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Hope you guys are having a great start to the week. It's been pretty good around these parts, finally getting some good weather for once. Tons to talk about, really. The infamous game notes, as some of you guys have, some of the infamous game notes, as you guys have called them. I have no problem calling my game notes infamous. I don't think they're that good, but at least they get the job done, I guess. Of course, here in a few seconds, we will bring on our very special guest. I'm excited getting a chance to talk to the great Jen Welter here in a few seconds. Did want to get into one story, and we will talk more about it when she comes on here in a second, and that is the San Angelo Bandits, who your Revolution will be playing later this week, have a new head coach. Their head coach happened to step down, and former Revolution coach Wendell Davis has pretty much been announced the new Bandits head coach. So, you know, we'll have more on that as it comes on. But, as I said, we have a very special guest. So, without further ado right now, I do want to bring on Miss Jen Welter. How are you doing today, Jen?
I'm doing great, Jeremy. How are you?
I am doing pretty good. Like I said, we actually got a break in the weather.
To today.
It is good to talk to you.
That's always good.
Yeah, definitely so. I guess we can go on and start there. What was it like working with Coach Davis back when he was with the Revolution earlier this season?
You know, Coach Davis is obviously he's a great person. I feel really close to him. I was sorry to see him go. You know, he brought me into the Revolution, and I have a lot of respect for him. You know, people ask me how I felt about San Angelo hiring him, and I'll tell you right now, you want to beat the best, you hire the best. And the Revolution right now, I don't think anybody could argue, is the team to beat in this league. And San Angelo made a smart play. They took somebody who knows our team the best possible, because he's been in there and running it for, you know, since the start of this year, and they made their own play to try and take us down by taking our old head coach. Strategy, it's football.
It's very much strategy, and I think you would know a lot about strategy, given that you actually have a PhD in psychology, am I right?
Yes, sir, I do, and then psychology, any of my players will tell you, that's one of the things I drive home with them. Hey, they're going to try this. Why are they going to try that? Because I would right now. And that's something I say to them. I want you to watch this, because the next logical play would be something along these lines. You know, just like San Angelo did. Hey, look how great the Revolution is doing. What's a smart play? Take their old head coach.
Absolutely. I can't lie. That would be a page I would try to take. Well, I've kind of lived by the philosophy in the last couple of years I kind of come up with this, and I think you'll at least partially agree based off the what we just said, and that's if you understand the concepts, you don't necessarily have to master them, but if you understand the concepts of marketing and psychology, you can pretty much do anything you want in this world.
Yep, you absolutely can, and that's the trick to life. You know, you really have to understand what people want, how to give it to them, and how to win at the game of life or the game of football. And both, to me, are obviously intimately connected because, you know, my life is football. So I would have to agree with you 100%.
Good. I'm glad somebody who knows a lot more than me agrees with that. It makes me look a little better, I guess. So I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
I guess we'll get into kind of your story to this point, like how you got to the Revolution, because I know you played for a couple teams before then in some of the women's leagues leading up to the Revolution, and then ultimately now you're the linebackers coach. So I guess just the brief story of how you got to this point.
You know, I played 14 years women's professional football. I was blessed with an outstanding career that included 10 years with the Dallas Diamonds. That was my longest stay. In that time, we won 4 world championships. I played with the U.S. national team twice overseas, the first time in Stockholm, Sweden, and the second time in Vantaa, Finland. Both of those times, the USA won a gold medal. And after coming home from Finland in 2013, I was approached by the Texas Revolution, who basically wanted me to come out and play with their football team. I think we defied a lot of odds, because originally it was just go through training camp, and I don't think that they thought I would necessarily survive training camp. But when I did and, you know, got on the field and was with the team, you know, for the entire year, I think they saw a lot about me and the kind of person that I am and the kind of football person that I am. And coming into this year, they had obviously done a complete overhaul in terms of the coaching staff. Wendell was the new head coach, and he was not somebody I knew. And I met him. We sat down and just talked football. You know, he was kind of asking me about the team last year, what things were good, what things weren't, and, you know, what I'd like to see for the players, and, you know, things as general as, you know, what was the practice schedule like, to as specific as what, you know, what defense did you run, how did it work. And I kind of felt like I was a little bit under the gun, and I didn't realize why until he offered me the coaching position 2 days later. And I turned him down at first, actually, because I didn't know if I was ready to transition from playing into coaching. And he was very insistent, which anybody who knows Wendell Davis will tell you that. When he knows what he wants, he goes after it 100%, and he did that with me, and I eventually relented, and, you know, I'm really glad I did. That's how I got to the Revolution this year. If you're familiar with the coaching staff from this situation, you'll know that we started with 7, and of those original 7, the 2 that are left are the head coach, Devin Wyman, and I. And Devin just brought on Terry Glenn to run the offense, which is a great move. I love Terry. And the 3 of us are just really big on putting energy into the players, developing them as players as well as people, and hopefully helping them excel both on the football field and life. And we just really want to see them excel in every facet. And we believe that'll start with winning a championship this season, and that'll open a lot of doors for a lot of people that come from the Revolution. And that's our overall goal, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah, I really like this coaching staff. It's something me and Sonny Clark have talked about before. I like the fact that I've seen most of you guys play football at some point during my life, so it's nice to get to see, you know, people that I know the game well enough that now that you're coaching, I feel good about this staff. And to me, this Revolution staff is one of the best all-star staffs I've ever seen.
You know, it really is, and we all bring such a solid foundation of the game and a really a moral code to it. I think that's something that sets us apart. You know, Devin is not only a football leader, but he's also a spiritual leader. He's a minister. He goes out and actively works on pouring into people and helping them elevate to their spiritual side, their physical side, their emotional side. And Terry's the same way, you know, and so am I. And I think anybody who watches this Revolution team will see the development of a true team and the elevation that really we believe God's hand is on this team. You know, we've seen guys come forward and break down about things that were going on in their personal lives that they were putting aside and giving everything to the love of the team. And I think that's why people have said, man, this team is so special. When you see that, when you see these guys and and what they're giving really for the pure love of this football game. You can't help but fall in love with this team, and you know, that really starts with Devin, and I hope is personified and carried forward by both Terry and myself, as well as, you know, your leaders right in the Revolution team. You know, we have some guys who have stepped up huge. Kent, our quarterback, was basically the offensive coordinator after Wendell left and before Terry came in, and he was a solid leader, and he's not just a football leader, he's a moral leader. You know, Stu, our middle linebacker, is somebody who really pushes through passion to bring the very best out of all of his teammates, and he's also a, you know, someone who you can see his religious beliefs play such a big role in his life and his passion and what he believes this team is capable of. And, you know, Frankie Solomon's been solid on defense. So has Rashad Washington, all picking up leadership roles because we have such a small coaching staff. And, you know, we love their input. You know, Darius Fudge, I think he will play a huge role in his knowledge and experience in this game as such a smart player who knows offense like the back of his hand, to really take Terry's great football skill and knowledge and precision of the game and help him blend that into the arena-style football. I think it's going to be something unlike what anybody has seen before in Texas Revolution football, and I'm so blessed to be a part of it, and I love every minute of it.
Well, I've always had the belief, too, that there's not just the passion, but there is a lot of religion in sports in general, because, you know, just like religion, there's a lot of belief and a lot of faith involved in pulling for your favorite team or pushing through to be the best you can and, you know, stuff like that.
So, you know, me personally, there's no reason in the world, in earthly standards, that at 5'2", 130 pounds, I should be the woman who made history in men's pro football, either from the playing standpoint or from the coaching standpoint. You have to believe in something bigger. I believe that I've been blessed with an opportunity to, you know, have an impact on the football field, but also to use what I've done with football, you know, with my football career, to have a bigger impact in life and to show people what's possible through passion and faith and belief and hard work. And it's those things that, you know, have helped me even with these guys, for them to, you know, take coaching from a woman. That was everybody's big reservation, is will these players listen to you because you're a girl? They're not going to just give you respect for because you're a girl. No, they're going to do it because I know the game of football, and they know I live it and that I care about them both as players and people. You know, we have a special bond because it requires to be something bigger. We all know that this is something special. And I'm a firm believer that I was put, you know, that my course in life was to be through football. And I took that passion and professionalism even in the days when there really was no visible future for women in football, and just kept doing the right things consistently and being a professional in every sense of the word, and letting people see that it wasn't going anywhere. It wasn't a fad. It wasn't, you know, a publicity stunt. It was my life, and that my dedication and love of the game of football was, you know, on the same level as guys who love it and believe in it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And that's pretty much what Impact Media always stood for, was, you know, there's those in life that make impressions, but Impact Media is always about those who go over and above to make an impact. And by far, you're definitely one of those people, and I do believe that you were the right person to break all these barriers. And as far as that goes, the NFL, I think, is slowly following suit of the indoor game. Obviously, the first female official, Sarah Thomas, was announced last week, I believe. And then Arizona head coach Bruce Arians, I know you sent out this story too. I saw it. He says that female head coaches could be the future of the NFL.
Absolutely. I mean, why not? You know,
exactly.
What it comes down to is love and dedication to the game, and a willingness to be the best. That's not defined by gender. Just like we saw the NFL come around to the fact that it wasn't defined by race. Now, nobody's going to hand it to you. Nobody's going to put you in that position just because you're a woman. But if you're as good as a guy, why not get a shot like a guy? And that's what I think is so important. I don't believe that things in this life happen by accident. You know, people prove their way through things. And the fact that Bruce Arians sees that, he's a visionary. You know, I don't believe that he knows there's already a woman who's in men's professional football, but I think he will. And I think he'll, you know, based on what I've heard about him and the reputation that he has, he'll be like, see, I told you, it's already in the works. You know, I didn't know about this, but this is great to see. This is great progress, you know. And I think as the NFL realizes that, you know, they're going to have to be a lot more female-friendly, you know, in order to counteract some of the negative stereotypes and negative things they've experienced with domestic violence towards women, I think they're going to, you know, actively be willing to develop women in football. Whether that means give them jobs, probably not until they're ready. You know, I know the ref that they just hired, they did it because she was qualified, because to do it and put a woman in a place where she wasn't qualified is setting her up for failure. And they can't afford that either, you know. But I think that it will change, and I think it's great progress, and I love that he spoke out and said, yeah, this could happen.
Yeah, I'm glad he did too, and he's always been one of my favorite coaches. I'm glad he finally got a chance to be a head coach, and people can actually see how smart and how gifted this guy really is. And I do agree, he's on to something here, that it shouldn't be based off gender or background or anything. If you can get the job done, you should be able to get the job done.
Right. You know, and everybody has a different style. You know, I think, you know, Coach Devin and I had a great talk about it last night, like, that he loves how the guys can relate to me. And I told him, I said, my job, you know, working with the linebackers, and I end up working with the D-line quite a bit when he has to go, you know, do the head coach. I mean, obviously, you know, in this, D-line and linebackers work hand in hand. You know, my job is to follow your lead and make sure when you have to go lead in another way that message is consistent and it's carried through. And sometimes it's translated a little bit differently. I may phrase things differently or approach it differently, but at the end of the day, we want to eliminate confusion and make sure the guys are all on the same page, and that's your page. You know, my approach and how I break things down obviously is going to be a little bit different because of my background. But that doesn't mean that it's a different play. It's a different way to say the same thing so that the message comes through loud and clear, and it's clear no matter how you say it. And everybody interprets things differently. But when we all work towards the same goal, how we get there, you know, that doesn't really matter. You know, none of the coaches on the Revolution coaching staff are yellers. And I think that that's a fantastic thing to see, you know. Devin is a quiet leader. Terry's a quiet leader. So am I. Will we yell? Yeah, like pumped up yelling. But we're not going to break people down. And that's a message that you'll see. You know, if you talk to Coach Devin, you're going to know, like from Jump Street, that's important. He doesn't believe in belittling players. He doesn't believe in throwing stones at each other. And I think that's why people are seeing, wow, this team is really playing together as a team. And it's something that we constantly address. Yes, everybody can get better. Everybody makes mistakes. You know, he who has never sinned can cast the first stone kind of mentality. And
right.
That pushes you as a player to build people up rather than break them down. If you see something, hey, maybe you can approach it a different way. Like, hey, man, have you tried this move or this, that, and the other? Not just, what are you doing? Like, I can't believe you made that mistake. This doesn't help anybody. And that's really something that we're passionate about, and I think, you know, the more the fans are around this team, they're really going to see it. They're going to see a lot of building people up, because that's what this level of football is really designed to do. It's designed to build people up, build these players up,
you know, give them opportunities to step up to the next level like Clinton Solomon did. And, you know, we love seeing him out in Vegas shining. You know, I love Solo. He's one of my, you know, he was like a big brother to me last year. He looked out for me when I didn't know what these guys were going to see, you know, how they were going to treat me. And he said, you know, I've got your back no matter what. I think you're the greatest thing that's happened to this league since I've been in it. And if anybody gives you a hard time, you let me know. So guess what? To see him out in Vegas shining makes me happier than anything I can tell you. Danny Mason signing for future considerations with the Denver Broncos. Heck yeah. I look forward to seeing you play at the next level. And we are all committed to helping these guys become better players and become better men in life. You know, respect this football family because you have such a short time to do it. But we know that these are, you know, these are people that no matter where you are, you can always call on them. You know, I'm from a very small family by birth, but I say I have I've been blessed with an extremely large football family, you know, and my football family knows no barriers in terms of race, gender, demographics, socioeconomic status, any of those things. And it knows no boundaries in terms of geography. You know, it's international. I know women who play football all over the world. I know men and women. I've played with them and against them, and that is my family. And that is what you're going to see from this team.
Absolutely. Last week I had on Robert Williams, and he said a lot about the way you said that the team doesn't yell at each other, but they try to find better ways to adjust and, you know, make better plays and all. He said that Frankie Solomon Jr. a lot of times, even though he'll come up and mess with him a little bit with a playful comment, he'll still go, hey, how about we try to attack this side? I'm going to be right behind you or something like that. And you can kind of see that family atmosphere on this team.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And, you know, I had a talk like that about with Williams early in the year, who is a great player. I mean, he's, you know, he's my boy. You know, I love everything about him. He has a strong work ethic, and he's a great player. He has a great attitude. You know, and I remember early on in the season, there was a time, you know, Coach Wyman was a little bit difficult, like was a little hard on him, and I could see it in his face that he was down. And I looked at him and I said, Robert, let me tell you something. Devin is hard on you because he, like me, sees how great you can be. You didn't do anything wrong, but we believe you're capable of being amazing. So that's why we get on you, because we know we see flashes of brilliance and we're addicted to it. We want it from you every single play. So realize that the best compliment that a coach can give you is attention to you and making you better, because that means we believe in you. We know what you're capable of, and we want to build you up. I said, if you take nothing else, realize that anytime he gives you coaching, he's pouring into you knowledge that he has because he believes in you. When you learn that, you will be unstoppable as a player. We know you can be great. That's why we're on you. And guess what? The time you should be worried is the time that we don't talk to you, because that means we probably don't think we can help you. And that's the worst thing that you can have as a player. And he looked at me and he was like, thanks, coach. He's like, I don't know how you know I knew I needed that, but I really did, and I'm going to look at it that way. And he really has. And, I mean, anybody who's watched Robert's progress over the course of the season can see he's really coming into his own as a player, and he's doing it in a position that was not his original position. So it's been challenging for him, but it's addictive as a coach to see just what a force he is becoming on the football field. And I think he's a player that you're going to see more and more from every single week. And that's a prediction.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I was going to hit on that up until you said it, that, yeah, he's not playing his original position. He's having to learn a slightly new position. And he said it's been tough, but at the same time, there's enough similarities and enough support behind him to where it's went pretty well so far.
It has. I think he's doing a great job, and he's really becoming you know, a force that knows, and you know, and it suits his talents and abilities better. You know, he's so fast and fearless that
when he really gets on a roll, I think he's pretty much unstoppable, and that's been one of the keys to our defense.
So what would you say are some of the differences in this season and last season?
Beyond comparison, it's the level of professionalism in every facet of the game. And, you know, that really comes through in the coaching. It's discipline. It's practicing. I mean, you know, we used to practice at 8 o'clock at night, and sometimes practice would start late, and then it would be short. We're on the football field. The coaches are there at 5:30. Devin's there probably about 5, just getting things set up. The players are on the field and going at 6 a.m. You know, that speaks right there to the level of professionalism, the level of commitment, and that's why the football team is doing so well. I mean, you have guys who are 100% committed to being the absolute best, and we're not willing to settle for anything less than a championship. And that swagger, that professionalism, that top-to-bottom just belief and teamwork, those things weren't there last year. You know, we had some great players. We had some very physically talented guys, but we weren't a team, and I think we really are now and becoming more so every day.
Yeah, I can definitely see an improvement, and it's not necessarily that it was super bad or anything last year. You can just see the evolution of this team.
You know, and the focus is being a team, and that's the difference. You know, it's not just elevating one guy or one superstar. It's, you know, I honestly believe we could have a different player of the week every single week because so many guys are stepping up in so many different ways and really emerging. I mean, look at DeMario Dixon. He was great last year, but he's unstoppable this year. I mean, he's getting better and better every single game, and I'm so proud of him because, you know, he was one of those guys who really didn't get coached last year because, you know, he was doing well. Well, we expect him to be great this year, and he loves it. Like, he will come up to me, and he'll be like, "Coach, what else did you see? What else can I do? How'd I do?" You know, or he'll know what I was going to say before I say it, you know, and that to me is thrilling. Because I told the guys, you know, and they all know it, I said, when coaches spend hours and hours breaking down game film, and when we see a tendency or when we pick up a trigger or when we, you know, find a trick play and we break it down to you and we pour that knowledge into you, the best compliment that you can give us is to execute. And when you execute, it makes us want to give you more and more and more. And I think Dixon's a prime example of that because he really is just, his game is evolving and he's taking it to a whole nother level. And he's very coachable and very enthusiastic about that.
What are your goals in football and then after football?
You know, I'm such a focused person. My goals in football right now are to win a championship. I'm all in to this team right now, living in the present. And I think too often people forget about the present and look too far in the future. I believe, like we preach to all the guys, when you kick butt, when you, you know, show out on film, when you do all the right things where you are, you create other opportunities for yourself. And that's what I'm focused on. Just like I ask the guys to win in the now, you know, commit to a championship, commit to this Texas Revolution football team, that's where I am. That's what my goals are. You know, and it's hard for me to say what my goals beyond that are because coaching was not something that I had planned out. I didn't say I'm going to coach in men's pro football and step towards it. That was a blessing and an opportunity that was presented to me based on, you know, showing out and being a professional on other levels. And I believe that the same thing will happen on my next level. I do love the media stuff, and I do love motivational speaking. I am working on a book and a lot of those things. But in terms of football, I'm just focused right here, right now. And I think that that's something we ask of our players, and I would be doing them an injustice if I wasn't as focused as I ask them to be.
I absolutely agree with that philosophy. You know, since you mentioned a lot of the other things that you do in the motivational speaking, and I got all these things straight off your website, which I will plug here in a second. You got pro athlete, personal trainer, group fitness expert, mental skills coach, team building, and motivational speaker. You must have a hat rack that rivals mine with as many different directions all those things can take you.
Yeah, I mean, but to me, they're all very much in line with each other. You know, I'll tell anybody, being a female athlete is a full-time hustle. You have to be committed to doing everything that you can do to stay in the game. And, you know, I started teaching aerobics in high school. That's when I first got certified. And it's been a part of my life for over half my life now. And, you know, that's something that I did and kept on up on because I needed to put in that work every single day. So how do you stay motivated when you're not motivated? Well, guess what? I have a group of people waiting on me. I'm going to be there. You know, it's as part, you know, being in shape and being in the gym are as important to my success as anything else. And so I had to put it on that level of success. And that's why I love helping people with it. In terms of team building, well, that's obviously a part of my psychological background. You know, my master's is in sports psychology, my doctorate's in psychology. So those are all things that I studied both in playing on teams and in school. So those things are all very much in line to me. Motivational speaking, well, you know, my life story lends itself very well to that, as does my education. And I like to think of them as all very interconnected pieces to a very puzzling person.
And while I'm on making sure to plug all the things, especially once your book's about to come out, we'll try to have you back on and let everybody know how they can get those. But tell me about the Droid Turbo. I noticed you put something up about that earlier.
You know, the Droid Turbo, that was a promotion that I was approached to do, and it was pretty fantastic. You know, I just finished doing a promotion with Toyota and then the Droid Turbo, and I think that those are blessings that come when people are watching what you do. And, you know, Droid Turbo is pretty fantastic. 48 hours battery life. It's tough. It's durable. And it like I said, it's as multifaceted as I am. So it is a great thing to pick up. And that was brought to me by, you know, the Clever Girls Collective. And I thank them for, you know, taking an interest in me as an athlete and an influencer.
And then you mentioned the Toyota. Did they let you test drive it for a week? What was that promotion?
They did. They actually gave me the Highlander Hybrid for 10 days to just put it through the paces, you know, see if it could keep up with my life, and it was fantastic.
It looked pretty cool because not only did you you piled a bunch of the Texas Revolution dancers in there at one point, and you also piled quite a few Texas Revolution football players in there, and it seemed to hold up.
I did. We actually had 6 of us total in there. You know, it seats 7, but I definitely wouldn't recommend trying to put your whole like D line in the way back seat. I think it might be me and 2 receivers at best. But if you're going to do 7, you know, you could make it work. 3 of the dance team girls could definitely fit back there.
Oh, yeah. You guys definitely put it through the paces. And I've always been a Toyota fan for practically my whole life. I'm one of the outcasts in my family for that. But, you know, if you're looking for a good family vehicle that'll fit all your stuff and your kids and family in it, that'll look a good vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a hybrid, so... You know, I'm big on that technology. I'd never actually experienced how good a hybrid could be. But, I mean, the car was so quiet, I literally got out of it once and didn't realize it was still running. Thankfully, I figured it out pretty quickly. But, I mean, that is how quiet it is. So as a coach or a parent, you could easily talk over the engine and have no problems being heard.
That's definitely a good thing nowadays. Thanks to some of the barriers you broke last year in being the first female to play in pro football. You went on quite a media tour. I was able to catch a lot of the TV appearances as far as when they were on television. Who is your favorite celebrity that you've met?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I've met so many really cool celebrities. In terms of shows, like, probably one of the biggest thrills to me was Arsenio Hall. He was so much fun, and he made it easy because that was, you know, that was my first real big show, and he was just so much fun and, you know, threw me the football, and he was having a good time, and we goofed around, and he came and took pictures, and, you know, and then Steve Harvey, it was surreal, you know, the whole production value. He has such a great team around him, you know, just the complete opposite, and yet both fantastic. But my favorite celebrity and probably the coolest person that I've met in a long time has got to be Snoop Dogg. I played with him in the Wounded Warriors amputee flag football game, and he is just he's as fantastic as you hope he would be. He knows the game of football inside and out. He's an absolute competitor. You know, I have a picture where I picked him up in the end zone. He fell in love with my story when I first said it. Like, I, you know, because I was the only girl in the game, and there were tons of NFL guys, and Snoop Dogg was playing with me on the Wounded Warriors team. And as soon as I said my story, he was like, "Little mama, come here." He was like, "You are so fantastic. I didn't even know you existed." He was like, "Tell me you're on my team because we're winning." He was like, "You're like my number one draft pick." And, you know, I laughed, and he tried on my Super Bowl ring and took a picture in it, and just, you know, really just was a genuine person. And he actually has a youth flag league out in California, which he's very passionate about, and not something that most people would expect. He coaches. And every year at the Super Bowl, he has what he calls the Snooper Bowl, and he flies in different youth teams, and they all compete against each other, and he coaches. And he invited me to come out to that game. And when I went out there, he was just genuinely surprised. He was like, "I can't believe you came." And he was so excited, and he introduced me to everybody. And, you know, he just really is a genuine all-heart person. And I was a fan before that, but now I have a friend, you know, and I consider that fantastic, because he's just larger than life to me, and his heart is as big as his persona.
Yeah, he's definitely a class act. I've always heard good stories about him. Who would you like to meet that you have not yet?
Oh, gosh. Wow, there's a lot of those, you know. I'd love to meet, like, Kevin Hart. I'm not sure who would be taller, but that'd be kind of cool. He's just so funny.
I think you may edge him by a few inches.
I might. But, you know, it would be really nice for somebody to actually make me feel big. One of my favorite all-time people, I'm a big comedy person. You know, I would say I had to laugh my way through life to be able to do all the things that I've done. You know, if I took myself too seriously, I wouldn't make it. And one of my favorites all times is Jackie Chan. And, you know, I think the way he mixed comedy and martial arts is groundbreaking. Chris Rock, Chris Tucker, any of those. In terms of females, if I could meet anybody, it would be Ronda Rousey. I'm a huge fan. I love how powerful she is, how much she's done for both sports and being a crossover, and just a role model who's embraced everything that I think a woman should be. You know, she's powerful, she's strong, she's beautiful, and she's not afraid to tell people to go after what they want in life. She's probably one of the only women in the world that I would say I would absolutely not want to go toe-to-toe with. I would take her on my team. Please be on my team. And I say that because after I finished playing, there were people who were like, "Oh, you know, you look like a fighter. You should go fight in the UFC. You should fight Ronda Rousey." And I was like, "Heck no, I should not. I have too much respect for that woman to even go toe-to-toe in her expertise area.
I am not insane. I will sit in the front row and I will cheer her on all day long, but I don't want to fight her. But I would love to meet her, and I would love to just kick it with her because she seems very cool.
So we'll just go ahead and dispel that rumor, because that was actually brought up to me earlier by a fan that sent in some questions and comments. If you would ever want to fight Rhonda, but let's just quash that right now. Rhonda, if you're listening, or if you know Rhonda and you want to tell her to listen, which we would appreciate, obviously you can follow her at Rhonda Rousey on Twitter. Want to give her that plug. Not only are we both fans, Rhonda, but if you need corner people, we'll absolutely do that. But if you're looking for like sparring partners, no thank you.
Hey, I would love to learn from her. She could totally teach me stuff. I would be a great student. But no, I don't want to go against her. I'd rather her be my best friend than my worst enemy. Any smart woman would say the same. Any smart dude would say the same too. Sorry. Point blank. That woman is bad to the bone, and I am a fan. I am definitely not about going against her in a ring. I'd take her in tennis or something out of her game, but you know, I'm not fighting her. I don't want to get punched in the face by her. I like my face intact. That's why I wore a helmet.
Exactly. I was about to say, if she's a big backgammon player, maybe I'll go toe-to-toe there or some Xbox or something. But as far as a physical sport, I think I'll bow out as well. Who was your favorite team growing up?
You know, growing up, I loved the Dallas Cowboys and the 49ers. I loved their rivalry. I just thought it was a classic matchup in sports. When I went to college and went to school in Massachusetts, the first NFL team I ever saw was the Patriots, and that is my team to this day because, you know, I had some great experiences with them, and it's amazing to me to be surrounded by two former Patriots on this coaching staff. So that's probably my favorite team to this day.
We will definitely get along in those aspects. I, when I was growing up, the Cowboys and 49ers seemed to always win Super Bowls, and I'm a Brady homer just from being a lifelong Michigan fan, so I will always have a small spot for the Patriots in my world.
And I got to say, though, I love Seattle Seahawks defense. It's so much fun to watch. Defense can steal my heart in any game. I may go in rooting for one team, but if the defense is taking over, guess what? I'm cheering for them. And I love Pete Carroll's philosophy. Not surprising, he was also with the Patriots, so we can go there. But you know, I love that they've tapped into rugby style tackling, and I think that's going to help their team from a long term perspective. It's something I've been very outspoken about. But yeah, I gotta roll with the Patriots.
Absolutely, I definitely agree there. You are currently a free agent as far as active competition goes. Any aspirations to maybe put on a helmet again one day?
You know, that's tough. Like in terms of football, coaching and playing just can't happen on the same realm. Because, you know, the Women's League is playing now. They just kicked off the Dallas Elite, which is founded by some of my former teammates, and the roster is pretty much all of my former teammates. They kicked off their game, you know, their season last weekend with a win. And so it's an either-or situation. Do I miss playing every single day? My guys always get on me about it. They're like, man, coach, you could line up. We just want to see you play now, even being in the mix with us every day. And that's something that's really hard, is because, you know, being a coach, I've seen so much that I wish I had known when I was a player. So it's hard not to be tempted, but at the same time, if I'm going to follow this path, I can't do both.
I guess I want to get your perspective on being a role model, because whether celebrities and athletes realize it or kind of accept it, in a way you're a role model one way or the other. You happen to be just a super positive one. What's it like being a role model?
I think it's the best compliment in the world. If what I have done in sports gives me the ability or the power, if you want to say, because role models are powerful, to have a positive impact on anyone's life, then I'm blessed. I want little girls to grow up with what I didn't have. You know, I didn't have that female role model. I mean, my mom is fantastic, don't get me wrong, but I mean in terms of sports. If I had to look to, you know, if I was a little girl who ran around with a football, I couldn't see somebody who looked like me and think that's possible. So if I can give that to somebody, then why wouldn't I want to? Why wouldn't I take every opportunity that I could possibly have, embrace it, and run with it? I think that it is a lot of pressure, you know, because you have to realize that people are watching you. But if you embrace it and you realize it for what it is, you know, that it is a blessing, then it makes questionable decisions, I guess, a little bit easier. You know, I have a goddaughter, and I think about things, and, you know, I love the fact that she feels inspired by what I do. You know, I have a niece, and though she's too young to know it now, you know, I want her to see what I've done and to believe that she can do anything beyond the football field. It doesn't have to be football. I want her to just think, man, that's possible. You know, it's possible to be a doctor and a football player, you know, whatever that is. So to have that influence, it would be very short-sighted to me to not believe that was the ultimate compliment. For somebody to take their child and tell them my story or show them a story about me or a picture and say, hey, isn't this cool? Like, what's better than that? You know, what's better than having little girls, you know, reach out from across the country and say, thank you, you make me believe in myself. Those are the things that keep me going. You know, obviously, women's football was never something that paid my bills. And yet, it was the belief and the passion and the opportunity to have a lasting impression on people's lives that was priceless to me. You know, it was beyond anything that I could have made if I would have left football. You know, I'm a doctor. I could make a lot more money, you know, not coaching football. But to me, to be able to break barriers and show people what's possible in life is absolutely priceless.
I think that's awesome. What's something others might not know about you?
Gosh, there's probably a lot. But, you know, a good one is that I paint. That's a very big part of me growing up. My mom, you know, my dad, everybody knows that side of me, right? My dad was a chiropractor and a race car driver. So it explains so much of my personality. It's not even funny. You know, I was raised with that fearless mentality, that, you know, high drive, high motivation, high competitive, high adrenaline father. And my mom is definitely the other side of me that probably a lot of people don't know. She was an art teacher at a drop-in center for kids. She's probably just one of the absolute nicest, sweetest people you will ever meet in your life. She took all of my friends in all ways growing up, and, you know, they would call her mom. And she raised my sister and I very, you know, painting and doing pottery and getting our hands in. I mean, my mom's house in Florida is beautiful and vibrant and bright, and it's all things that she's created. My sister went to Rhode Island School of Design and studied art there, and that's one of the best art schools in the country. And if you walk into my house, it's probably exactly what opposite of what anybody would think. It's very brightly colored. It's all furniture and, you know, even the walls I painted myself, you know, the furniture I redid myself and my own painting. So that's probably something that most people wouldn't expect.
Do you watch a lot of game film, or do you go based off more off philosophies and instincts?
Both. You have to have a combination of both. Like, look at, you know, last week, especially, they had a few trick plays, which, you know, you picked up on film, and those tendencies you can tell and you can help your players with. But I believe that by watching a lot of game film, that's how you get to have good instincts on the football field. You have to know what the other team likes to do in order to react quickly to it. But certain games you can't watch as much film on. I mean, think about think about our game this week. They have a new head coach. So is watching film useful? Yes, because you can pick up certain things. But are a lot of things going to look very different? Absolutely. So you can't predict the game based on film, but you can definitely excel based on it. Look at how the Patriots won the Super Bowl. That wasn't just good instincts. That was great coaching. Bill Belichick told him, if they line up in this formation, crash it. There's no way a player could have made that play if he wasn't coached to execute that play in just the way he did.
I absolutely agree. I had to explain that to a room full of questioned faces when that play happened.
Yep. That is the genius of Bill Belichick.
Yep, absolutely.
Executed through a great player.
One of the best ever, for sure.
Yep.
Do you have any hobbies or talents?
Well, I think we covered some of it. You know, writing, well, painting, football, speaking.
And do you have
other?
I think those qualify in my book.
Okay.
I was just going over some of the fan questions too.
Okay.
Do you have any fitness or nutrition tips?
Oh gosh, too many to cover in an interview, but the biggest one is consistency. You know, build fitness into your life. Don't make it punishment. Make it a habit. You know, do little things every single day that add up to your success. You know, and eat to live, don't live to eat. You know, enjoy the things that you're having when you have them. Balance your diet and don't ridicule yourself if you stray a little bit. Just enjoy it.
I think people can definitely take that one and use it for sure.
Well, too, you know, we live in an Insta society now. Everybody wants results right now. Guess what? It's not that simple. There's not a quick fix. There's just being smarter in everything that you do. If you know that you're on the road and you're not going to work out, guess what? Eat a little better. If you know that you put in some great work or, you know, that you've had a tough week, guess what? Indulge in your favorite meal, but don't think of it as, oh, I just killed my whole diet. No, you enjoyed a meal. Get back to it. Go to the gym the next day, you know, maybe put in a little extra work, but don't kill yourself over it.
Exactly. And if people want to follow you on social media, how can they do that?
On Twitter, I'm at jwelter47. Instagram, it's welter47. Facebook, Dr. Jen Welter. And my website is jenwelter.com.
Yep, which,
and
as I said,
it's welter like a welterweight in boxing.
Exactly. I was just going to say that because people have asked.
Yep. Think about a boxer. It's not Walter, it's welter.
Exactly. Well, I know you got a busy night ahead, and I don't want to keep you too long, but definitely appreciate you coming on. And a thing we have been doing, and because of a technical glitch, I don't have Robert's questions for you. But when I get those, I'll have you back on and have – I always have the previous guest come up with a couple questions they would ask the current guest. And as soon as I clear up the glitch and get Robert's questions – it's been pretty good
Robert
so far.
Robert has some questions for me, huh? Mm-hmm.
He does. And Frankie actually had questions for him, and Frankie held it over his head all week that he didn't know what he was going to ask him, so that was pretty funny. But like I said, when we clear up the glitch and get Robert's questions, I'll have you back on so you can answer those. And then when we get our next guest, I'll get the questions from you for that guest.
Okay. Sure, no problem.
Like I said, technical glitch this week. We had a couple things kind of going on that kind of prevented us from having those, to which we apologize to you and the fans and everybody. But, you know, as soon as we get that cleared up, we'll have all the questions back on. But Jen, I appreciate you being on, and good luck the rest of the season, and we look forward to all the many more barriers you're going to break.
My pleasure. I think you guys will be
you will have a great show in store, meaning this team is going to give you a lot this season. So we certainly appreciate your support and all the fan support. That's the only way it works. You know, we need you guys just like you need us. And that's the thing that I think sometimes coaches, players, whatever you want to call them, celebrities forget, is that it's the people who live a little bit when we take the football field that make it so special. And, you know, I'm very conscious of that. I love this game, but I love what this game does for people. And so, you know, thank you guys for your support of us and believing in us, because we certainly value you.
Yep, it's definitely a circle that all works together. But like I said, I don't want to keep you too long. I know you got some other things you need to go do. I appreciate you being on, and good luck the rest of the year, Jen.
Thank you.
And, of course, that was Dr. Jen Welter, your linebackers coach for the Texas Revolution. Once again, we just it's just pure joy to me to be able to have all these amazing people on, and Jen is definitely one of those impactful people, and I'm glad I got to speak with her just, you know, spread all the good things she's been doing. So many great things. Up next, on the other side of the break, yep, we are going to take a small little break here. On the other side of the break, we will get into those infamous, as you guys have nicknamed them, the infamous game notes. But until the other side of the break, you won't know what I wrote down. We'll see you on the other side of the break, though, for more Revolution Zone, the infamous game notes, thanks to Impact Media. Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. And that's right, we are back here on the Revolution Zone, presented by Impact Media, right here live on Blog Talk Radio. Let's get into these infamous game notes. I like that you guys are calling them that. That's kind of, I like that. That's fun. Like I said, I don't know that they're necessarily the best, but they're my take on things that I saw. Let's start early in the first quarter. I actually got to watch this game a handful of times. Thanks to AmericaOneSports.com. Appreciate those guys. Now that we've cleared up the time differential on the showings. The Revolution's defense was very good early. I think it had a lot to do with the coaching and the superstar players, especially our guest that was just on a few minutes ago, Dr. Jen Welter. The Force seemed to like to hand out souvenirs. And what I mean by that is, they like to throw the ball out of bounds a lot, kind of throwaway plays. When it breaks down, they tend to throw a lot of them out. So I know you guys appreciate that. Y'all got to take a football home. Never a bad thing there. Just there was a couple missed field goals going on. That kind of thing happens. It's, like I said, it's really hard to kick field goals. It's just really hard, no matter what distance. Fudge helps establish the run early. That's always important. Kent threw to Cooper for the Revolution touchdown. It made it 7-0. There was a miscue on the first extra point attempt that ultimately cost him a timeout. It didn't have enough players on the field, and then the play clock was running down. And that's just, you know, special teams has kind of had its issues this year, and they're slowly clearing them up. But I don't know. To me, it's just, it's hard to burn a timeout. I agree with what Sonny said on the broadcast. At that point, just go and take the penalty on the extra point and kick a longer one. But they were able to put it all together at that point. There were some unnecessary penalties. Fortunately, a lot of them were on the Force and not the Revolution. The penalty situation seems to be slowly cleared up. and it seems like the referees are not necessarily finding fault with red, white, and blue players as opposed to others. Frankie was able to get in there and break up a lot of pass and touchdown breakups, just jump right in the middle of plays. The one in particular where it looked like he fell down, or I don't think he got beat. I think he slipped a little bit, and the receiver caught the ball along the right boards there, and he caught the ball and turned around. Frankie just knocked the ball loose and took off running and took it all the way back for the touchdown. To me, there's not many corners in the league that make that play, and it almost looked like it was on purpose, but I know Frankie better than that, and he wouldn't try to give somebody an advantage like that in order just to make a better play. So definitely Frankie, I think he slipped on that play, but either way, Kent did throw an interception on the goal line. It's going to happen. It's football. And Kent's a good, you know, he's been great for this team. So I'm not going to really find much fault there except for it was an interception. But on the goal line, you got to think. I mean, almost all the players are standing in the same spot. There's just limited room down there. DeMario Dixon, who Jen mentioned just a few minutes ago, had the huge sack to start the second. Then another sack followed that. Then the force had an interception. So it just kept going kind of back and forth for a minute. Brown was able to run the touchdown in, make it 13-6 with about 5.5 left at that point. That play that looked like a safety, that was a safety in my opinion. They called it back because of a penalty on the Revolution. I don't know. It's kind of a phantom call to me. I don't know. I just don't think they wanted to give them that safety. But like I said, the referees seemed to go a lot lighter on both teams this time around, so I'm not going to say anything. There were two just odd calls. We'll go that way. I've been trying to find a good adjective to use there. Two interesting, entertaining calls in a row against the Revolution. It was the safety one I talked about, and then it was a fumble recovery for a touchdown. They didn't give him the touchdown on it. And I don't know. It's just interesting. But the force went for the field goal. They missed the field goal, and the phenomenal Frankie Solomon Jr. decided he was going to the house. So he took his ball and took it all the way to the house for the touchdown there. Another great play. And actually, at that point, Frankie had put as many points on the board as the opposing team, the force. Kent threw to Cooper again for another touchdown late in the second quarter. Kent seemed to really like to spread the ball around a lot, which I really liked. Even though he had some of his favorite targets, you got to imagine that, you know, on a given week, he's only seeing two or three of the same receivers that he did the week before, the way other teams are signing the Revolution wide receivers back and forth. So he's going to go to the guys he's familiar with before he does some of the other guys because he's not used to their tendencies yet. So the longer they play on the team, the more you're definitely going to see that. As far as the first half, the force seemed to move the ball pretty decent. They just couldn't score, which is a testament to this defense. This defense is ridiculous. Average giving up, I think, 30 points or 28 points or something like that, and it was a lot less in this game for sure. It was 25-6, as our previous guest earlier, Jen, had Instagrammed out. I actually happened to see that one. I thought it was pretty funny. 25-6 at halftime, and then the Revolution opened it up with the touchdown run to make it 32-6. For the force, Hubbard is a heck of a player. I mean, he's just one of those guys. He was fun to watch. I hated that he was on the other team, but he was fun to watch. Hubbard made a lot of plays for them. Saren ended up with an interception for the Revolution on the goal line. Like I said, Kent's passing was precise, and he was spreading it across the field. The force actually did score the touchdown and the two-point conversion with 7 seconds left in the third to make it 35-14, but I guess he wanted to make sure that he was scoring as many points as the force were, Frankie Solomon Jr., who returned the kickoff with 7 seconds to go, return the kickoff at the end of the third for a touchdown, making it 42-14. The Force were able to add another one, made it 42-21. They kind of made it seem like they were starting to come back. That was with 13 minutes to go. The Revolution started kind of, I'm not going to say milking the clock because that sounds negative. They were using the clock to their advantage. They were making the Force take this game over because of the way the offense was running and the plays they were making, and also the way the defense was making big plays and keeping them under control. A Force player was ejected. It kind of got chippy towards the end. I think it's when the Force realized they weren't going to win, which is unfortunate in sports. I hate when people start getting chippy, and you know, it's about protecting each other. It's, you know, you can go against your enemy for the entire game, but you really don't want them to get hurt. So, I mean, you know, you got to protect people out there. I believe Mac was the Force player. I believe that's who I heard. It was kind of a little bit of confusion. There was a couple of little chippy moments, but I believe he was the one that was ejected. There was a player later on that should have been ejected, but he wasn't. That's not my call on that one. That was the referee's decision, and, you know, bigger heads prevailed, cooler heads prevailed. We went on about it. Godin caught a touchdown to make it 48-21 with about 39 seconds to go, which ultimately led to the final score, 48-21. Your Revolution win. As far as the news and notes, the main thing that you need to know, besides what I said, that Wendell Davis, the head coach for the Revolution for the first four games this year, before the coaching change, is now coaching the San Angelo Bandits, who will host the Revolution on Saturday at a 7:05 Central start on AmericaOneSports.com, in case you can't go to San Angelo to watch it. But that is the next game, the Revolution at the San Angelo Bandits. Can't talk today. It happens. But that is pretty much going to do it for us this week. Appreciate, as always, you guys listening in. It's always a blast, like I said, getting to come on here and talk about the Revolution and all the guests we've been able to come in. We're lining up some other good ones soon. Make sure you stay tuned in the next couple weeks. We'll start as soon as we have all the specifics nailed down, we'll announce those. Do want to thank Dr. Jen Welter for being our guest this week. Made it another special show. Make sure you go to jenwelter.com. Welter47 on Instagram and at jwelter47 on Twitter. And actually, as soon as this show starts to post up, in a few minutes, I'm going to make sure that Bruce Arians of the Arizona Cardinals gets the link for this one, because if he's looking for the future in coaching, it just may be Jen. But that's going to do it for us. So, for Impact Media and Blog Talk Radio, this has been Revolution Zone, and I am Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week.